Watch Empire Fighting Special Conglomeration Program.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, unless otherwise noted. There will be an extra board meeting this month on Monday, June 10th at 6 p.m.
Well, good morning. This is Press Watch. Pierre Fograng. I'm filling in for Teresa, who is away on a little vacation trip. And we could talk about, since this is Press Watch, we might start out by mentioning, talking about the fate of newspapers. Newspapers seem to be going broke all over the country these days. Various reasons have been given. One is that they have lost their a lot of their classified ads, which is a big money maker. And in general, they're being replaced. We're getting our news sort of more electronically, not just on radio, which has been around for quite a while, but we're getting our news on the internet and Facebook and all kinds of things like that. And so, are newspapers doomed? Are they on the way out? I don't know. I mean, I used to work for a newspaper when I was living in San Francisco. Worked for the San Francisco Examiner, and started out as a copy boy. Back in the days when they had the technology, then was linotype machines and hot lead and all that kind of stuff. The linotype machines really kind of fascinating to watch. The guy, you know, this sort of, it's like a little typewriter keyboard, and the person, operator, types out stories, but instead of being in ink on a paper, there's a little pot of boiling lead, and the typing sort of sets up the lead so that it fills up a little slot. It comes out the lead type. So you type a sentence, and that is transposed into a little lead slug that drops into this tray. And so then when the tray is full, they take it over to a guy in the composing room who fills up the page. The pages are kind of on a table, and he puts the lead type, these slugs, into where they're supposed to go. And then when that page is filled up with the lead slugs, it's sent off to a place where it's put into a mold. And the mold is curved. It's like a... and then the mold is put on the big press machines, which are also fascinating to watch. They're huge machines, and they at one end you have a roll of newsprint, kind of like, think of a giant roll of toilet paper. A roll of toilet paper that's maybe 8 feet long, and I don't know how many feet thick. And that is fed into this big press machine, and it goes, it's folded, and it goes up and down and different around different wheels and cogs and rollers. And the molds are put into this press machine, and then at the other end out comes freshly printed, folded newspapers all stacked up. It was really fascinating to watch them. I don't know if you can still do that. You used to be able to do that at the Oregonian's press building up near the baseball park. Well, that was the kind of technology they had then. Now newspapers are falling victim to kind of digital technology. And I remember when the newspaper I worked for switched over to that. It was took a while, and there was a newspaper strike in the middle of it all. And can't tell you about that, too. But anyway, one thing about, so is our newspapers doomed? I kind of think not, because the digital news gathering we have now, basically, well, it depends on a functioning internet. It depends on a whole lot of things, and that is not guaranteed to last forever. We may actually go back to newsprint. And so if people want to call in, what do you think about it? Do you think newspapers are doomed, or are you happy, unhappy about that? The number to call is 503-231-8187. Remember, we had a newspaper strike in San Francisco back in the 60s, and it was very interesting. The newspapers, of course, they were not being printed, so the TV station, the public TV station, KQED, filled in, and they kind of duplicated a newspaper desk. They had a guy, his name was Mel Wax, he used to be with the Chronicle, and he was like the editor, and then he had different reporters who would give their stories on TV, and they even had a cartoonist who's sitting off on the side. His name was Bob Bastian, who also worked for the Chronicle, and he would, by the end of the show, he would have an editorial cartoon already. And during the newspaper strike, it lasted about 6 weeks, and one thing I remember was the Examiner at that time had a columnist who went by the name of Freddie Francisco. His name was Bob Patterson, kind of a con man. He'd actually served time in prisons, but somehow he was in the newspaper business, and he had a lot of connections. And the Newspaper Guild put him in charge of our strike kitchen. So in other words, we had in the union office nearby, they had a kind of like a buffet where people on picket line could come in for coffee or a meal or something like that. And Freddie Francisco was put in charge of that. Well, Freddie Francisco knew all the restaurant owners in town, and so we had instead of sandwiches and cold cuts and stuff like that, our strike kitchen was we had food catered by Trader Vic's. So hats off to Freddie Francisco, wherever you are. We have somebody on the line. Joan is on the line. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. I just wanted to say that Street Roots is probably the best newspaper in town at this point.
Yes,
everybody,
it is.
Street News. It's very good. It's a people's medium. Uh-huh. There are also zines. There are also comics that come out. People are not going to stop publishing. Nothing wrong with paper. Mm-hmm. We need alternatives, and I like Street Roots, and that's my message. Thank you.
What is their kind of business plan? How do they get their money? Do they have a lot of advertising? What keeps them going?
I don't really know. I do see ads in Street Roots. I know that people donate. I know that people buy the paper, and people buy the paper just to support the people who are selling the paper. So I don't know what their business plan is. How it is as a business. I do know that it's a good newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Well, they seem to be.
And the fact that they're distributed around means that it's easy to get one. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I really know about it.
Well, that's very interesting. Their distribution plan is very interesting too. It's not like in the old days they had newsstands on the street corners and. They had trucks, dropping off bundles of newspapers. With Street Roots, they have vendors out there, and they get a commission. I think they get a dollar for every paper they...
It's 75 cents on the dollar.
Okay.
And it's part of a network of street newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
So Street Roots is not the only one. And it's also not a big business. It's not a corporation. It's not done for profit. It's done to support the vendors. So the whole thing, it sounds like a really good, you know, and I get newsletters from organizations that I contribute to, and I read them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the answer, and I'm going to get off the air.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Well, she mentioned newsletters and things. I remember the I.F. Stone's newsletter. I.F. Stone was a journalist who, in New York, he wrote for a bunch of kind of very progressive newspapers, and the most recent one was the New York Daily Compass. And then that folded up, and so I.F. Stone, he started putting out his newsletter. It was just a four-page weekly that he put out of his home, he and his wife, and it lasted for, I don't know, I think about a dozen years or so. It is really... He did it all by himself. We have, I think, Mike on the phone.
Yeah, good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm Teresa for half an hour, so...
I'll try to be brief here. I've got 2 points I'm really interested in having you maybe... our press has never been under such attack. The whole idea of a free and unfettered press just seems to be out the window.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking your life in your hands if you're a reporter. But anyways, yesterday I heard on the news, or day before, in Australia, they've gone into these newspaper places and torn them up and gone through all their stuff. Have you heard about that?
That I've heard a little bit, not enough. That is really amazing. That it just sounds really very drastic what the Australian government is doing down there. It's I got to check this out some more.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to hear from you on it. And one other thing. Now, when in 2001, 9/11, the Twin Towers were run into by airplanes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what caused the Patriot Act, correct?
I think so. Well, one of the things, okay.
Well, okay, so what was the real purpose of the Patriot Act? It was supposed to be a temporary deal. Why do we still have the Patriot Act?
Well, I think this so-called war on terrorism is a never-ending deal, you know?
Yeah.
It's by its very nature, you know, terrorism is a kind of a strategy that is used by disaffected people all around the world. Very easy to do. It's very cheap, and it's not going to go away as long as there are people with a real grievance. And so you can expect this total war on terror to go on for, it could go on forever until the world gets better.
Well, the problem with these terrorists is they remind me of somebody who owns a dog and keeps it in a cage and beats it and kicks it and beats it and kicks it until the dog bites back.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, those were the 2 points I was interested in, and you do a really good show. You're a very intelligent person, so maybe you can help me come up with some, you know. Yeah, our press is under such... I don't understand. Do people, do they really realize how bad our press is being beat up on worldwide?
Yeah, well, it is. That's something people ought to realize. Also, in some ways, the press itself is not that great either. So it's...
Well, you got to admit, Rupert Murdoch did everything that Mr. Hearst tried to do. He got her done.
Well, I used to work for Mr. Hearst newspaper back in San Francisco. Anyway, thank you very much for that call. And I think we have Jabara on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks. I'm listening to the feedback on the other line. I just wanted to say that I believe that newspapers are not dead. I work for one.
Oh, really?
I'm in a small mountain town in Idaho. It's called the Mountain Express.
Okay.
And we have a circulation of 13,000.
Mm-hmm.
We also have an online paper, mtexpress.com. I'm actually in charge of the classifieds. So our business model is that the classifieds and the display ads provide the majority of the income for the paper. We have 24 full-time employees with benefits. So it's, and it's a paper to be proud of. We have wonderful editorials that I believe in, despite being a member and protagonist of KBOO and a very liberal policy. The paper is not, but it is fair. And it's really it keeps the community together. People know what's going on. It makes changes. We report on things where people would not know that information about their community unless it was in the paper.
Attend all those boring meetings that are important.
Exactly, and we send reporters to all of them. We have, I think, 7 reporters.
Well, that's really great. Is it a newspaper guild there?
Part of the National Newspaper Association, and we've actually won number one in the country this year for a paper our size. We publish twice a week. Legals are also an income. Legal notices that people, you know, post. So that's our main. We have subscriptions, but that's not the major part of our income.
Is there much? Is there much competition from, say, the internet or Facebook or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, our classifieds are way down from what they used to be, but it's still a steady income. We also offer a lot of free classifieds, and I think that brings people in and it gives a service to the community. But people will, you know, post something on Facebook for sale and then notice that it's gone 2 seconds later because it's been buried. They can put it in the paper and it will be in for 2 weeks online and in print.
Well, so I'm glad to see it's still it's functioning. That is really good. My hats are off to you.
All right. Thank you. Bye, Bear.
Well, we just heard some very good news. Not all newspapers are folding up. Some are still thriving. That's great, because that is one of the things you hear is that these small town newspapers are in trouble, you know, and they provide a lot of really important news about, you know, meetings and things like that, official, you know, goings on, City Hall. You know, if nobody's watching City Hall, then hey, you better watch out. It's I just hope I hope that they are a union paper, that the people, I think she mentioned that they are getting benefits. I've been a member of the Newspaper Guild now, and it's one of the best unions I've ever been in. And it's so anyway, well, that is sort of good news. Well, a lot of things are in the news. Right now, Trump is President Donald Trump is off in Europe, visiting the Queen, observing D-Day, and all that kind of stuff, and generally acting like a bully as far as Mexico goes. You know, he's putting a Trump likes to talk about making deals. Well, making a deal is one thing, but browbeating the other person is something else. In other words, Trump does not like the immigrants who are coming to this country through Mexico. One reason they are coming here is because they've been driven out of their own countries by our policies and the dictators we've installed in places like Honduras and Guatemala. And so Trump is, his idea of negotiating is you bash the other guy over the head and say he won't stop until you give in, you know. So we put this 5% tariff on Mexico. It's going to go up every week or something like that. And Trump expects to reach some kind of deal by Monday or something like that. Ray is on the line. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, Pear. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
I want to talk about another good newspaper. It's a little regional newspaper called Overlook Views. And there's a really good article by Mike Shea, who's an architect, and he he talks about Kotek's terrible idea of infill, and he's made a picture of how it's going to look, everything all crammed together, no backyards, no yards at all, hardly
a tree. Well, that's for statewide, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really a terrible idea, but if you want to see just an idea of what this would look like, you know, he's made a computer picture, I think. Anyhow, it's a good paper, and it tells about things that happen in our neighborhood, you know, but it really affects other places too, you know, like the whole state.
Well, I think some of that depends on the kind of architecture, because like I used to live in San Francisco, and of course you had that famous picture of those row of houses along the, next to Dolores Park, and they're just side by side. These are but it looks neat. The buildings are really nice. I used to live in a building like that. It didn't share a wall with a building next door, but the two walls were just about 1 inch apart. And so your lot was like half of what our lots are here. So it can be done in a pleasant way, but I'm not sure what kind of architecture they've got in mind here. Some of the buildings I see going up now are really pretty hideous.
It reminds me of the Nazi Bauhaus, you know, that they had in the 30s and 40s in Germany, just big clunky, blocky thing.
Well, I wasn't Nazi. That was just German. In fact, I think most of the Bauhaus people had to leave when the Nazis took over.
Well, they were the ones that were allowed to make buildings in Germany at that time.
Well, they were.
Anyhow, thanks a lot, Pierre.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Later.
Mike is on the line. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to a comment you made about Trump in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that is not being mentioned is that because of the open borders in Mexico, you're having people coming in America from Africa, from all these other places, from the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
And right now in the Congo, they have a new outbreak of... what's that? Is it
Ebola?
Ebola. And so at the southern border, you know, they're not requiring proof of vaccination. We have now an outbreak of measles, which we haven't had in 25 years. So you have a lot of people coming in here through the southern border that are exposing America to diseases. And so I think Trump is right to be hard on people coming into the country undocumented. And another thing, too, go ahead.
Cool. I was just going to say that a lot depends on the reasons they're coming here. If you're coming here to get away from a government that is trying to kill you, you have a legal right to seek asylum. And so a lot of these people are doing just that. I mean, they are at home in Guatemala and Honduras. They are being... repressed and killed and injured by street gangs and by their own governments that we help install. So in a way, it's like chickens coming home to roost, you know. Go ahead.
Well, you know, first of all, gangs is not considered government. America had problems with gangs back in the 30s, and you know, they got rid of the gangs. That's not why asylum was set up. The standard for asylum is what the Jews was subjugated to. These people coming into America are not fleeing from genocide. They're coming because they're boys with domestic problems, economic problems, and gangs. That's not what asylum was set up for.
Well, they're fleeing. One of the things they're fleeing is a death squads. Guatemala's full of death squads, and we helped install them. So, you know, I think until we have a better relations, dealings in Central America, this is going to continue. As far as Africa goes, a lot of the people there, well, they've been going up to Europe, but they've been crossing the Mediterranean in leaky boats and things. And part of the reason there is that the their own government, their own countries are being impoverished by this global financial system, and they are there's also repressive governments there that are being installed by the global system. So they have a reason to leave home. Maybe they'd like to stay home if they had a better home to live in. Go ahead.
Well, I see that the only people that Americans are interested in are the Latin people. You know, there's a lot of people being deported from America that comes from that are Africans.
That's true.
They're being sent back, and nobody's talking about what's going over in Israel. Israel have a wall, and then they issued, I think, 90 days for people to self-deport, or they're going to put them in jail. And nobody's talking about that. So I see the Latin immigration issue, to me, have really highlighted how racist America really is.
Latino immigrants, they are close to us. We should talk more about Africa, what the European and American world are doing to Africa is really a crime. There's a report that's out, I can't think of the name right now, but it traces all the money that goes into Africa and comes out of Africa. And we talk about, that the United States and other countries give aid to Africa, but the money we put in is more than matched by the money that leaves Africa. So I think this report, that Africa every year was losing a couple $1 billion or more just because of the world financial system. And like the countries, the former French colonies in West Africa, they are still required to put their money in French banks. And it's Africa, the regular colonial empire has kind of been superseded by this kind of more quiet form of colonialism. But it still does its damage, and it winds up hurting people, and they some of them have no recourse except to try to get to Europe and the United States.
Well, let me ask you one question before I go, since
sure.
you seem like you're from Open Borders. These people that are coming to America.
I'm not for open borders. No, I'm not for open borders. Borders serve a purpose. But anyway, go ahead.
These people that are coming over are homeless. And it seems like that the cities in America that have the worst case of homelessness are sanctuary cities. And these are the places that you have outbreaks of diseases that we haven't seen since the 14th century, especially down in L.A. And so why would you want to encourage these people from Guatemala and all these people coming to America when America can't even take care of their own homelessness?
Well,
that doesn't make sense.
The reason you have homeless people, what it comes down to, when you have so much money at the top of the scale, billionaires, trillionaires, and you have so many people with not enough money to get from one week to the next at the bottom, and people kind of trying their luck in the middle. When you have that kind of a skewed income set up, you're bound to have homelessness, because the people with the money, they can buy up any building they want. That's the cause of gentrification. Gentrification makes people homeless. So it's a system that is doing that. And another one of my rants. This whole thing about being homeless and gentrification is due to a skewed economy where you have a lot of money at the top and very little money at the bottom. So it's the inevitable result of that. So this has been a Press Watch. I'm filling in for Teresa, who is on a trip. And now we're going to switch gears. We're going to go to Fight the Empire, and we have a guest.
KVU Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KVU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KVU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Coming up next at 9:30, Fight the Empire host Pear talks to journalist and author Daniel Lazar about Russia's motivations in interfering in American politics. At 10 on The Heather McCoy Show, Heather talks to Prost America writer Gwen DeFries about the next Thorns game in the upcoming Women's World Cup. She also talks to Jason Scott of LGBT Fresno to talk about what life is like for LGBT people who live in more conservative areas of our country. At 11, Between the Covers features an interview with Sofia Shalmayev about her new memoir, Mother Winter. And 11:30, it's Black Book Talk with your hostess, Patricia Welch, O.B. Hill, and Emma Jackson Ford. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate.